Hey guys, this is James Wilson with MTB Strength Training Systems and BikeJames.com, and welcome to another edition of the Bike James Podcast. In this podcast, I'm going to go over specificity of training and look at the four basic physical qualities that we need to work on as a mountain biker, and kind of the specificity of each, where we need to be as specific as possible and where we don't, and where trying to be too specific or not specific enough with our training can actually start to hold us back. So it's a really important concept for us to understand, for us to get the most out of our training so that we're not wasting time, or worse yet, actually kind of holding ourselves back unknowingly through our training. So that's what I'm going to be getting into in this podcast. And this podcast is brought to you by Pedaling Innovations. And Pedaling Innovations is the creator of the one and only Catalyst Pedal. And the Catalyst Pedal is a creation of mine. And it was basically created based on all of my research and understanding of both how the human body moves, the science behind the pedal stroke, and how we want to apply that to the bike. So it's the only pedal that looks at how to optimize the midfoot position and then applies that to the bike. And this allows you to get better power, better balance, and just overall better performance and a lot more comfort as well. You'd be surprised how comfortable these pedals are when you're not putting too much stress on your knees and ankles and calves and able to recruit more of your leg muscles more effectively. So anyways, the reviews and the testimonials have been great. You can check it out at pedalinginnovations.com and learn more about the story. And again, see some of the reviews and testimonials from riders that have tried it. Comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so you got nothing to lose. Nothing else in the bike industry has that sort of confidence behind what they're doing, which is why we do it. So anyways, hope you check them out. But without any further ado, let's get to the podcast. So today we're going to be talking about general versus specific training for mountain biking, and looking at the four physical qualities that go into making a good mountain biker, and looking at where we want to be specific with our training and where we don't want to necessarily try to be specific with our training. Because a lot of people get themselves into trouble doing one of two things. They either try to make everything extremely specific to their sport, in our case mountain biking, and everything they do has to resemble something that they're trying to do on the bike, or they don't get specific enough in some areas, and so they don't realize that they're actually a little too general with some of the things that they're doing, and they're not, you know, one, they're not going to get the transfer, and two, they're actually like creating something that's going to compete with their body when they actually want to get on their bike and ride their bike. And so what I want to do is go over what these four physical qualities are, how they apply to us as mountain bikers, and looking at where we can be general and where we want to be more specific with our training. And so the first physical quality is flexibility. And flexibility is your ability to freely move your joint through a range of motion. And so, for example, probably, you know, bending over to touch your toes is probably the thing that pops into most people's minds when you think about, you know, how flexible are you. And if you can bend over and, you know, keep your lower back relatively flat and touch your palms to the floor, then most people would say, hey, you've got good flexibility in your hamstrings. And or, you know, just good flexibility with that movement, because there's a lot more than just one muscle that's involved when you're looking at flexibility. And so some people will argue this and say, well, you know, mobility is a better term, because that's looking at your ability to move, and flexibility is kind of looking at kind of more passive. And, you know, I'm not here to split hairs over how we're going to refer to this stuff, but it's basically, can you move through a full range of motion? And this affects us on the bike, because if we can't move efficiently, then we can't get into proper position on the bike. And if we're not in a good position on the bike, we're not going to be as balanced, and we're also going to be wasting a lot of energy while we're moving. And so your ability to move freely and easily get into positions and postures on the bike is really important from, like I said, a balance and just kind of overall efficiency standpoint. So it's important for us to have adequate flexibility. The next physical quality is strength. And strength is your ability to produce tension in the muscles throughout the range of motion. And so again, if you've got a good range of motion, for example, in your hips, you can bend over and touch your toes or touch the ground and you know, not have to bend your lower back a whole lot. Well, then the next thing that we would look at would be you know, like your deadlift, and can you now use that hip hinge and you know, produce tension and produce strength in that range of motion. And so again, if you can't touch your toes, then odds are you're not going to be able to get into a good position when you try to do your deadlifts. And that means that you're going to, again, you're going to be in danger of hurting yourself. You're not going to be able to move as efficiently, so you're not going to be able to produce as much power, and you're going to be using a lot more energy to do it. So that's why kind of the hierarchy of these things, we look at flexibility first, and then we move on to strength, because once we've established that you can move through a full range of motion, now we want to see, can you really control and create strength through that full range of motion? And again, this is where these lines get blurred. Where does mobility end and strength begin? You know, again, we're just kind of, you know, splitting hairs over terminology, but you know, the basic idea is, can you produce tension in that range of motion? Now, the next quality is power. And power is your ability to apply force quickly. Again, looking through the range of motion, going back to just establishing, can you move? And now, can you produce tension? And now we're looking at, can you apply that tension quickly? Can you quickly turn on and apply that tension in a powerful manner? Now, power doesn't always mean that you're moving quickly. Like, for example, when someone's doing a really heavy deadlift, they may not be moving quickly as you're looking at them, because the weight's so heavy, they're moving slowly, but the intention is still there. They're trying to lift that weight and move it as quickly as they can. And so that power, you know, again, we look at it more when we're looking at quick movements, because that's, you know, again, like throwing a punch or running or jumping or something like that. But just understanding that power, it's more of an intentionality than a speed. And so your intention to quickly apply the force to whatever you're doing is really the idea behind power. And so again, this is obviously very important for us as mountain bikers, because we're looking for pedaling power. You need power to manual and bunny hop your bike. So it, you know, power comes into play a lot as a rider. But again, working back this hierarchy, you can kind of see, can you move well? Can you produce tension? Now, can you quickly produce that tension on your bike? And so now the last one is cardio or endurance. And I kind of use these terms, even though they're not interchangeable, a lot of people look at them as being interchangeable. And again, we can, you know, split hairs and argue over it. But in general, cardio is looking at training your cardiovascular system. Endurance training is helping you endure longer in your sport. And even though those things are intimately tied together, they're not the exact same thing. Like, endurance training is going to require or involve more than just the cardiovascular system, as I'll get into when we get into the specific versus non-specific training. But the basic idea of either one is you're looking at your ability to sustain your strength and power over a duration, you know. So for like a downhill racer, that duration is going to be a lot shorter than a cross country racer. But the idea is the same, is your ability to sustain the required strength and power that you need to perform at the levels that you want to perform over the time period that you want to do that. And so that's, you know, what cardio and endurance. So it's the combination of these four things that go into your physical potential as a rider. And again, there's a lot more. Like, you can have all the physical potential in the world, but if your mindset's not there, you're not putting in the work that you need to, you know, there's a lot more. So that's why I call it your physical potential. But you want to make sure that you've got your physical potential as a rider as high as it can be, so that as you're working on these other things, you're making sure it's not that physical potential that's holding you back. In fact, I found that for a lot of riders, this is holding them back in a lot of ways. Your physical potential will hold back your ability to improve your skills. It will also hold back your mental, like your brain. Your mental potential and your physical potential are intimately tied. Like, your body knows what your physically capable of on some level. And so, like, if you don't have good balance, if you don't move well, your brain is going to look at certain obstacles differently than as you gain strength, as you gain power, as you gain movement. Your brain actually starts to gain confidence in that physical potential and starts to help with your mental as well. So anyways, everything's intimately tied, but I just wanted to point out that if you're not addressing these things, if you're not trying to increase your physical potential as a rider, you're really going to hold yourself back in these other areas if you're trying to increase your skills and mental confidence and things like that. So you definitely got to balance the two. But getting back to what we're talking about here, as a mountain biker, your goal is to use a program that helps you improve these four things as they relate to your needs as a rider. And again, getting back to the point of this podcast, that's the important thing, is looking at these four things through the lens of being a mountain biker and trying to improve your ability to ride mountain bikes on the trail, which is what we do. So trying to apply too much or misapplying sport-specific training can actually hold you back. So that's why it's important that you understand the best way to apply this concept to these four things. Now, these four things basically exist on a continuum from most general to most specific. And I'm going to go over them, but they kind of go in the order that I presented them earlier. They kind of stack that way in this continuum as well. But the first one is flexibility, and flexibility is the most general of all the qualities. So almost any type of stretching will help your riding. Anything that's going to increase your flexibility and your range of motion will have transfer over to the bike. You don't have to be super bike specific trying to get in positions and postures that look like what you're doing on the bike to get transfer over to the bike when you're doing your flexibility training. So this is one of the reasons that yoga can be helpful for mountain bikers. And in the notes for the podcast here, I put yoga in quotes, because realistically, if you know your history about this stuff, you know that what we call yoga, especially in the West, in the US and stuff, is it's not really yoga. It's a combination of true yoga with a really heavy influence of a German physical training system that also heavily influenced Pilates. You know, if you've ever noticed that, you know, modern yoga and Pilates share a lot of kind of concepts and movements and terminology and stuff like that. And that's because they both share a root with this German physical training system that they were both heavily influenced by. So I'm not saying that necessarily to take away from it. Just, you know, keep in mind that if a true yogi from India wandered into your hot yoga class, he would ask you, what are you doing? Because that's not like true yoga. But anyways, the point is that anything that's going to get you stretching can be helpful as a mountain biker. And so you don't have to be super specific with that. Just stretch. Do something that's going to get you stretching. Strength is going to be a little more specific and starts to require that we think about some things like postures and stances when picking exercises. Although you're still going to see a lot of transfer from just getting stronger. And this is one of the reasons why the deadlift is such a popular exercise in almost every sport, because the strength gains that you get in the hip hinge from increasing getting stronger with the deadlift will transfer over to a lot of applications in a lot of different sports. And so again, you know, you don't have to get really specific. There's a few things that you can do. Like, for example, I definitely make sure that like the windmill movement is included both in flexibility and in strength, because it's a super important movement for us for cornering our bikes. And since cornering is such a huge part of mountain biking, then you definitely want to make sure that you're emphasizing that. So, you know, again, there's some things that you might emphasize a little more than others, but we don't have to get really specific with what we're doing. Like, deadlifting will get you better at riding your mountain bike. You know, so just look at these general movement patterns and getting strong with them. And again, I'm going to go over kind of how you apply this at the end of the podcast. So I won't get too much into it right now. But just remember that strength, while being a little more specific than flexibility, just getting stronger will help you immensely on the trail in a lot of different ways. So power is moving up the scale a little bit. towards the specificity continuum. And so now we're definitely looking at needing more specific movements and stances to have the transfer to the bike that we want. And this is also where you want to start using true sport-specific training, i.e. use your bike. You want to use your bike for sprints, for at least some of your power training. Because again, if you're just trying to increase your power in the gym and you're hoping that it's just going to transfer to your bike, that's just not exactly how it works. There are some things you can do. You know, I'll touch on these here in a second in the gym to help with your power on the bike. But this is where you actually need to get your bike out and start working on your ability to apply power to the pedals, work on your ability to manual and bunny hop. This is where you have to actually get on your bike to get the most transfer from what you're doing. And cardio moves all the way to that end of the spectrum, and it's the most specific of all the qualities. And this is why the best cardio training you can do for any sport is to actually practice that sport. And, you know, while you can and should use some other forms of cardio training in your program, you can't build real MTB specific cardio in the gym or, you know, not on the trail. Like, you need to be on your bike riding trail. That is the best MTB specific cardio training that you can do. So on a side note, this is why I don't like to use things that resemble riding our bikes for cardio training, because again, now we're at the end of the spectrum where we need to be most specific. So now doing anything that starts to become more general is not going to have nearly the transfer that we want. And it's going to take away time and energy. Cardio training also tends to be the hardest training that we do, the most energy intensive, the most mentally grinding. And so you want to make sure that whatever you're doing in that arena or in that area is going to be as specific as possible with the transfer that you're going to get. And so this is why using things like a road bike, because a road bike, that's a sport. I've touched on this before. Like, there's a huge difference. Like, for roadies, riding a road bike is specific physical prep. That is specific training for their sport. For mountain bikers, it automatically becomes general because we don't ride road bikes. We ride mountain bikes. So being on a road bike automatically makes it general training for us as mountain bikers. And so if we want the most transfer, as you can see, this needs to be the most specific area of your program. This is why I'm such a huge advocate of always riding your mountain bike. Even if you're going to go out on the road and do some training, you need to be on your mountain bike. If you're on a trainer, you need to be on your mountain bike. If you're, you know, you need to be on your mountain bike as much as possible when it comes to cardio and endurance training for your riding. And so, again, using a road bike, or you know, something that tries to simulate pumping your bike or something to try to, you know, build cardio, these are actually worse for you because they create competing movement patterns, meaning that they're not exactly like riding your bike. They may look like it, they may kind of feel like it, but they're not exactly like it. And so your brain is learning things all the time, and it lays down, you know, neural blueprints in your brain to access. That's why, you know, for example, tying your shoes when you first started took a lot of thought. Now you don't even have to think about it because you have this neural blueprint for doing it. But as soon as someone, you know, if they ask you to tie a knot a slightly different way than what you're used to doing, you would have to think about it. And if you practice that slightly different way of tying your knot a bunch, it would start to interfere with your ability to tie a regular knot. You'd find yourself kind of having to think for a second before tying a regular knot too, because it starts to compete or create a competing neural blueprint for your brain to draw from when you say, okay, it's time to move. And so you don't even want your brain to know any other way of moving than the way that you want to do it on your bike. And so, you know, again, this is why a road bike is not as good for us as a mountain bike, because when you're on the road bike, it's very close, but it's not the same. And so now when you jump on your mountain bike, you've created these competing neural blueprints, you've laid your cardio on top of these competing neural blueprints, and now you're asking your body to somehow transfer this over to the more specific movement patterns of riding your bike. And it just doesn't work that way. It's just not how your brain and body works. And so you really want to stay away from contraptions and machines that look like they're trying to simulate riding or you know, pumping or doing something on your bike, or, you know, riding a road bike. You know, these things are actually worse for you than you know, getting actually as far away from riding your bike as possible. So that's why I recommend running or other forms of movement for your non-specific cardio, and you want to use your mountain bike for any and all MTB-specific cardio training that you're doing on the trainer or the road. So anyways, hopefully that makes sense. The take-home message is being close is worse than being really far away, really non-specific with your extra cardio training that you're going to do that doesn't involve actually riding your bike. So anyways, hopefully that makes sense. So what does all of this look like in practice? Let's break this down. So first, flexibility. Here's what I recommend. I recommend consistency first and foremost. I find that a little bit every day with flexibility is going to go a lot further than like one long session a week. And so I recommend spending at least 15 minutes a day stretching. You can pick the tightest muscles that you have. Just some basic stretches will work. But spend at least 15 minutes a day stretching. And I recommend at least two longer sessions during the week, whether this is you going to a yoga class, whether this is you getting just following a yoga video on YouTube or a stretching video. I know that they have like one of my jiu-jitsu buddies uses a CrossFit daily stretching app or something like that. So there's all sorts of different things, or you can just, you know, do it yourself, but you want to spend at least 30 minutes to an hour just stretching, just, you know, focusing on your breathing, relaxing, stretching. And so this is also why I don't recommend like power yoga and hard yoga type classes. Like, we want to be looking at yoga as a way to increase our flexibility, not as a way to increase our strength or power or cardio, because that's, you know, like, again, we want to be more specific with those things. So pick a class that's going to focus on stretching, relaxing, breathing, not something that's going to be like power yoga with core training thrown in kind of thing. That's not going to give you the same type of benefits. But so anyways, 15 minutes a day, two longer sessions during the week. Strength training, 2 to 3 days a week, just focusing on building strength in the major movement patterns, with a slight emphasis on the hip hinge and the single leg and lunge patterns. Because again, these are the patterns that we use. The hip hinge is the main pattern that we use for getting into our tack position, for seated pedaling, for manualing and bunny hopping and jumping on our bike. And the single leg and lunging patterns are the ones that we use for standing pedaling. And so making sure that you're getting good and strong with those movement patterns will have a lot of transfer to your bike. Is, you know, and obviously the upper body stuff, but anyways, those are kind of the things that I emphasize a little bit for mountain bikers in the programs. And with building strength, again, this means I have another podcast on why you should be focusing on 5 reps or less in your routine. You might want to go check that out if you want to get some ideas on how to apply this concept to your program. But strength training is that. It's like 5 reps or less. You want to get strong when you're doing strength training. And so again, we're not trying to turn strength training into cardio training. Cardio training needs to be specific to our sport. And so getting in the gym and doing, you know, 20 plus reps of something because we're endurance athletes and we need to be working on endurance, we're not building strength. We're violating the specificity principle for our cardio training. So again, there's never a time for that. I'm just saying that the bulk of your stuff needs to be focusing on strength, which means 5 reps or less with your strength training stuff. Power training, you only need like 1, maybe 2 days a week of power training. You gotta be careful with this because it's very tough neurologically. And so I also have another podcast on using power training for mountain biking. So again, another good thing to go check out. But 1 to 2 days a week using sprints. I recommend running. Running is a great way. And also getting on your bike or on a trainer. And so using sprints that way, as well as some exercises in the gym for upper body power, you know, some throws. I like Indian club work for helping to improve upper body power, single leg power, because again, we don't pedal with 2 legs. We pedal with a narrow stance with a single leg. So things that will help emphasize that in the gym can be helpful. But that's what we want to do for power training. And then finally, cardio and endurance training. And it's real complex. You got your notebook out, ready to take the notes? Here it comes. Ride your bike. I know that it's really complicated, right? Like you guys are waiting for this, like, you know, complicated heart rate, power formula, and all this other stuff. Honestly, man, it's not that difficult. You need to ride your bike. You need to do it with an emphasis on the times and efforts that you race at, if you race. All right, I have an article on the blog on pacing development strategy. So go do a search for that if you're not familiar with this term. But as if you race, your idea, what you want to do is, it's a pacing development strategy. It's your ability to go at a certain pace for a certain amount of time. So if you're a downhill racer, going for a 4-hour ride is not actually cardio training for your sport. And if you're a not that you never want to do that again, you need to have, there's a yin and a yang to everything. So just assume that when I say this is what you want to do, I understand that there's times and places where that may not be what you want to do. But for the most part, you want to really emphasize the times and efforts that you put into your racing. So again, if you race enduro, just going out for like a 2-hour hard ride is not training for enduro. Like enduro is easy transfers, rest, hard stage, easy transfer, rest, hard stage. So that's what your rides should be resembling. And this is where, again, where people really screw this up because they don't get specific enough with their cardio training. Like if you look at how do most mountain bikers approach their cardio training, well, they're on a trainer on a road bike, or on the road on their road bike, or they're not on their mountain bike, they're not on the trail. Or when they do get out on the trail, they're not thinking about how they actually race. They're going out for just a hard ride with no real emphasis on the pace and the times and stuff like that they want to be improving for their racing. And they wonder, like, God, I'm not getting better at riding. My cardio sucks. I need to get better. So then they go and they're looking for these really complex, you know, programs that involve, you know, functional power threshold and lactate and all this other stuff. That's like, look, man, for the average rider, for most people, like, that's just, you don't need that. You don't need that. If you understand what you need to be trying to do with your rides, that's going to accomplish the vast majority. It's the 80-20 rule, right? Like 80% of your results come from 20% of the things you can do. Having a smart strategy with your trail rides is that 20% for your cardio. So that's develop that pacing development strategy. And you also want to use, again, this is just my recommendation, I like to use some long, slow distance runs to round things out, because with riding, it's very hard to have easy mountain bike rides. You can go out on the road, but again, just trying to look at things from an overall perspective. If all you do is ride your bike, that has some benefits. If you're a professional rider and you pay your bills based on that, then that's probably what you want to do. If you don't pay your bills based on how you ride, then you need to keep some other things like health and longevity in mind. And so that's where getting off of your bike and doing some things like running or swimming or rowing or some things that are just completely different from your bike that get you using different movement patterns and muscles in different ways will help both from a general cardio training standpoint, which is still important to have some general cardio, even though we're talking about specific stuff here. And it's going to help you just from a longevity and health standpoint as well. And so, you know, using good, smart trail rides with other activities that are get you off of the bike is really going to be your best strategy when it comes to, you know, your cardio training. So again, I've mentioned a couple resources that you can find on my blog at bikejames.com, you know, these podcasts and other articles. So, you know, if you need some more information on that, you know, go check it out or hit me up, let me know. Happy to answer your questions. But understanding how to apply the specificity concept to each of these four physical qualities can help you stop wasting time on things that are either too specific or not specific enough to fit your needs as a mountain biker. And that's really what it's all about, because at the end of the day, what we want to do is make sure that the training that we're doing is paying off. And personally, I want to put in the least amount of time and effort into training to get the best results so that I can have the most amount of time and energy available to me to actually ride my bike or, you know, go and do other things and enjoy life. And so this is the way to do that. Make sure that you're getting the most out of your training program so you're not wasting time, and you're getting the best results and most transfer from your program by understanding how the specificity concept applies to these four qualities and then how that's going to apply to your program. So anyways, hopefully this is giving you some things to think about. And like I said, a lot of experience of my own going into this, both with my own programs and working with just countless clients over, shoots, we've been doing this for like 12 plus years now. And so, again, I've just seen a lot of mistakes that people are making stemming from this right here and just not understanding, you know, why they want to be more specific with their cardio training, why they just need to stretch and not worry about, you know, what, you know, specific stuff with that. So keep something simple, you know, make sure you're keeping other things in mind and you'll get where you want to go. So anyways, well, I'm going to go ahead and wrap this one up. So if you guys have any questions, post them at the blog post at bikejames.com with this podcast, and I'll be happy to answer them. And hopefully you guys have enjoyed this one, and I will talk to you in the next one.